Hi, it's Paul Camilos. Welcome to Series 6 of Shooting the Breeze. Join me and my co-host Jacinta Govind alongside the STB crew as we cover women's hoops and women in hoops. We'll share conversations and get a little deeper with inspiring players, amazing coaches, and the legends from behind the scenes. Especially in this series, we'll be talking to dream chasers that give it their all and lead with their heart.
I think the best thing that I learned in college was it's not about you. So it was more like, it doesn't matter how well you play, like it's more how your team plays. So even if I have a crap game, like I'm not gonna have bad body language. You know, if our team wins by 30, I'm happy because we won. And I think that's the biggest thing that I learned in college.
Next up in our Series 6 playbacks, we're running it back with the STB Virtuosos. It's short takes from our episodes with Michaela Roof, Loz Nicholson and Beck Cole. These three skilled, lethal and deadly virtuosos carve up the court and perform at will. This season, Michaela Roof is back at the club where she started her WNBL journey, the Sydney Flames. Loz and Beck are suiting up again for the Flames and Flyers respectively, and you know sparks are going to fly when these three hit the courts this season. If you want more about these basketball virtuosos, check out the notes and listen to their full episodes on Shooting the Breeze.
I think that's one of the best things about college. You know, you're there when you go, you kind of like go for, well, I don't know how it is anymore with the whole transfer portal or whatever, but you go for 4 years. So you create these amazing friendships with these girls that you see them 3 hours a day, every day, the entire year. So they become like more than just, you know, friends that are your, and more than just teammates, they're basically family, you know? And I think I still have really strong relationships with a lot of the girls that I played with. And I still, you know, keep in touch with them because I think, I don't know, you just form a bond going through a similar experience. And yeah, they know what it's like, you know what it's like, you go through ups and you go through downs with them. And I think that's really what makes college basketball such a, I don't know, rewarding experience.
And how did you find, when you finished the whole college period, how did you find sort of getting out of college and taking that next step? That must have been a really big change.
It was definitely a big change. I remember like now that I'm like far removed from college, I couldn't imagine. I would hate going back to college. But I remember my first like year, couple of years out, I didn't know what to do with myself. Like I missed seeing all of my friends every single day. It was really funny. I remember my first year when I was playing in Sydney and we were training like, I don't know, three times a week or whatever. I remember going up to Shannon and saying, Shannon, like, what, like, why aren't we training very much? And he's like, I think you're the first player ever that's asked, why don't we have more training? But I didn't know what to do with myself. I missed all my friends. I missed, you know, the ease, not easy. College wasn't easy, but like the, I guess, schedule that you had that you didn't have to like fill time with random things and stuff like that. So it was a very hard adjustment, but after about, I would say 3 or 4 years, when all the girls that I had played with were then graduated as well, that's when I really realized like, okay, I don't want to go back to college. I'm really enjoying this, you know, professional thing, doing my own thing. I definitely slept a lot more after I graduated from college.
And being in Sydney wouldn't be a bad place to be either, considering that was what your first professional season out of, like you said, a very regimented routine and schedule of college life. So plenty of things to do in Sydney. So did you eventually find ways to fill in your spare time and enjoy being a tourist a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I really loved being in Sydney. I thought it was awesome. I was so scared to drive in Sydney. But luckily I got like an Opal card or whatever, and I was on the public transit. It was super, super easy. But yeah, I got around. And I was also back when the Kings were playing. They were playing like in the city. So we could go, I can't remember what the venue was, but we could go like take any bus like right across the street, and they went into downtown. We could go to their games, went to the opera house, visited the zoo. There was always something happening in Sydney. So that was a really good place to be when I was bored, because I could always find something to do.
And good decision not to drive in Sydney, because I've grown up here nearly my whole life and I only live, 90 minutes north of Sydney. And I still don't drive in Sydney if I don't have to, because it's chaos. It's organized chaos.
It's very scary. And I remember I shared a car with the other import that year, and she had played QBL or something the season before. So she'd been in Australia a little bit. So she'd done the driving, but I was coming straight from college. So I was straight up from the other side of the road, and I was driving like in Sydney, and I was like hugging the curb lane, and she was like sitting in the chair, like pushing, like trying to push the car away from the parked cars along the side of the road. And I was like, okay, yep, that's enough driving for me.
Now, talking about the other import, and I'm trying this for the first time. I want to go back and show you a little bit of footage that we've got from way back in the day.
Michaela's blushing.
Okay.
Yeah, your screen's at least popping up and trying to share, so that's a good sign.
Yep, it's trying. It's a little bit slow.
Oh my god! At least I'm seeing.
And hopefully you should also get the audio out of this. I'll get back to that one.
Okay.
You look so different, though, back then.
I do. I was much tanner, and I was a bit chubbier.
Fresh out of college. I mean, you can't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I remember you and Paris got on really, really well.
Yeah.
How did you guys find both of you coming to Sydney for the first time? How did you feel about, this brand new city?
Yeah, I think, she was a really good first, import, I guess, to be with, because she was super keen to get out and explore and do fun things. And so we were kind of two peas in a pod. We'd go exploring together and adventuring. And I think, I felt lucky playing with her because she was such a good personality and we really got along and wanted to hang out together and see and do fun things. So I think it really made my Sydney experience much better being with her.
So how did you guys find the whole experience of play in Sydney? Because it would have been really different to anything you'd experienced in the States.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I just had no idea what professional basketball was like, to be honest. I was like, I don't know. I just came out. I wasn't a professional my first year. I still felt like I was in college. I partied probably too much. I wasn't very responsible. I didn't eat the right things. I didn't. I did do extra shooting and stuff like that, but I still just felt like I was, doing it for fun. And it wasn't until towards the end of the season, I broke my finger doing something stupid, not basketball related. And then that's when I realized, oh, this is my job. And I've just, I could lose my job because I was dumb and broke my finger not doing my job. So it wasn't until the end of the season, my first season out, that I realized you should be a bit more professional. And I don't know, good lessons.
Did you feel like your college experience prepared you well enough for what it was like to be a professional?
I think parts of it did. I think the best thing that I learned in college was it's not about you. So it was more like it doesn't matter how well you play. It's more how your team plays. So even if I have a crap game, I'm not going to have bad body language. If our team wins by 30, I'm happy because we won. And I think that's the biggest thing that I learned in college. I don't know. The other parts, I wasn't super prepared for. In college, the shot clock and all the way the game was played, it was much slower. We got a lot more rests. That's why I was fat. So those things I wasn't necessarily prepared for the professional thing. But I think the biggest thing that it taught me was, that it's bigger than you. Team success is way more important than personal success.
And speaking of different styles of play as well, did Shannon prepare you enough for the differences between what you're used to at Stanford to WNBL and Australian style play, where we like to run a lot more and thankfully a much shorter shot clock, because I don't think I could ever go back to a 30 second shot clock.
No, 30 seconds is way too long.
Way too long.
Even And then with the new shot clock reset, where it just goes to 14 on an O board, that's way better too. I couldn't imagine having to play another whole 30 seconds after an O board. It would really, you know, make you not want to give up any O boards. But yeah, I think he did a good job. You know, like, we ran a lot in training. We got up and down. But yeah, I still think it wasn't until the end of the season when I ended up getting injured that I realized, like, I wasn't in great shape. I wasn't doing the right things outside of basketball to get myself in better shape. So I think it was a bit of Shannon helping me and a bit of, you know, making my own mistakes and then realizing that I had to be better.
So what were some of those things after you had that kind of realization and time to reflect with your broken finger? What were some of the first things you wanted to implement to turn yourself around a little bit or to improve, I should say?
Well, first I started doing extra conditioning with our strength and conditioning coach because I wasn't able to train. So that was one big thing that was, and then I changed my diet a bit. I stopped eating so much sugar. You know, those little, I don't know if they still have them, but like the little Cadbury elves that have like the popping candy that you can get at like Christmas time. Anyways, those were my favorite. And I like discovered those my first year here. And we bought like, it would have been like 30 bags of them. And so we had them. Anyways, I was eating way too many of those and I realized maybe I should stop doing that. And then just, you know, like going out on the weekends and stuff like that, I realized, you know, like if I wanted to be better, that I should cut that out, or at least, you know, like control myself and not get to a point where I'm doing dumb things because I'm, you know, intoxicated or whatever. So yeah, the biggest change was probably my diet. I started eating a lot better and then I was able to get in much better shape.
Yeah, as I said before, it took us a little while. I think it took us a little while to gel. I think we were all got along fine and all of that. But I think, I don't know, it's taken us a little while to just find it on the court. And even, yeah, you can notice it in warm-up. It does seem more relaxed. I know Kayla and Vanessa are always having a laugh when we're doing ladders, and Paige and DD are probably out there fighting like sisters, so everyone's laughing at them. Yeah, so it is more relaxed, and I think it is helping us.
And going back to you, though, you have consistently been performing really well all season. I don't think you really faltered. If I was to be a real nerd and graph it, I don't think there are really a lot of dips in your performance through the whole season. So is it sometimes hard to stay focused on performing your best for your team during those ups and downs, or do you kind of just get on with business as usual regardless of the situation?
Yeah, I just try and get on with it. I think Guy has actually been really good for me in that regard. He's kind of one of those coaches that never gets too high and never gets too low. And I think that has really rubbed off on me as well. I just try and stay really level-headed and neutral the whole way through, because he always says that if you're winning games, you become too confident, and if you're losing, you're really, really flat and negative. So you got to find somewhere in between, because you're really not that good and you're really not that bad. And I like the way he speaks about that. So I think he's been good for me that way.
It's always interesting when we're at the games, watching the coaching staff as the game progresses through. You know, you're watching the ups and downs. Like, you're watching the game, but you're watching the coaching staff. You kind of see the whole ups and downs in their faces. Do you ever notice in breaks and timeouts and whatever, how they're reacting to the way the game's progressing?
Yeah, I do. You know, I actually notice it more when we watch film back. I notice the coaches on the sideline and I have a little giggle sometimes, because Guy doesn't show much emotion, but I do notice he does clap and smile a little bit when he's on the sideline. And then they are a really good makeup of coaches, because, you know, Guy's probably the more serious, probably a little bit more brutal, but also a really caring guy as well. And then you've got Renee, who's pretty straight to the point and also has a really great knowledge of the game, which she has. She's good on the video and she's a real people person. And then you've got T, who really brings the energy and is just really positive all the time. So I don't know, they're a really good makeup of coaches. I think they really balance each other out really well.
Yeah, I like when you're sitting back and you're kind of observing the game, you can read so much from the coach's expressions. There was one game, it was not a good game, right? But I remember having a look, and there was Guy sitting on the LED board on the side, and he was just kind of like watching. And he was just like, this is the first time I've ever seen him do something like this. This does not look like a happy guy.
No. I can just imagine the face. I can actually just imagine that. No, you definitely know when he's mad, and he will tell you when he's mad. But that's what we love about him. He also tells you if you're doing all right too. So it's goes both ways with him.
And the last time I saw you face to face was after a shooting session on the day of a home game against Townsville, and you and Renee had to take some time away just to have a bit of a catch up. So it seems like that she's been a pretty good support, or I guess input, for your season so far. What are some of the main things or surprising things you have learnt from Renee so far?
I've learnt a lot. She's actually been really good for my confidence. I sit with her a fair bit, and we do individual performance plans in our team. So have things that we want to work on, get better at, and she helps me with that, getting better at those things. But she, I don't know, she's just got this knowledge, and I mean, you know her as well. She's just got this really great feel about her, and I love chatting to her. I love chatting to her about what she knows about basketball. Yeah, I don't know. I just have a lot of respect for the way she is, the way she communicates with people, and I think she really gets the best out of people that she's coaching.
Yeah, she really does. And when I was doing some extra reading about her at the end of last year, you know, to prepare an article about her appointment as assistant, a lot of things, old things that were popping up, was just how much she is, as you said, a people person, and how much confidence she instills in her players. But now you think about it, she speaks to you with such conviction and such confidence when she's talking about anything that it's very almost contagious for you, like not to take that on board. Like, she can convince you to go and eat glass and tell you that it's good for you, and you'll be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, she actually does do that. Anything she tells you, you're like, oh, that sounds like a good idea. And it's funny. I actually used to, I was telling her this the other day. I haven't ever told her because I didn't want her to get a big head, but I used to watch her when I was really young play. I remember one game vividly, her playing at Bankstown in a state championship, and thought she was just the coolest person ever. And then was too scared to talk to her for a really long time, and then all of a sudden she was my coach, and it feels crazy because she's not that much older than me, but in my mind I just feel like she's been around forever and just got so much. Well, she does have so much experience and so much to offer,
and now she's your bestie.
Yeah, that's it.
Just on that point, I'm kind of curious, what's it feel like when you're a kid and you've been watching a player, and you're like, you look up to that player, and then there they are, they're part of your team?
Yeah, it's a weird, crazy feeling, because especially now I am a little bit older in the league, and then I've got a coach who I like literally loved when I was young. So it is a little bit of a strange dynamic, but it's also just like really cool that that gets to happen. And I always think about, wow, I maybe want to coach one day, and it's going to be cool. The little kids that come through and say, oh, I used to watch you, you know, it's just going to keep going around and around. So, yeah, it is a really great dynamic.
I think it's very unique to basketball in Australia, because it is such a small community, especially if you choose to dedicate a lot of time to it and take a bit more of an in-depth interest in it. I feel like sometimes those full circle moments are sometimes inevitable, and like you're always going to orbit similar people. Like, I even remember watching you at 16's Nationals going and remembering how good you were then. And so I'm not surprised that you then went to St. Mary's and now you're playing the way you're playing. And it's just funny how like those things just keep coming around.
Yeah, I feel like it happens all the time. Every team you're on, it's always a full circle moment. Like, or you know someone that knows someone. It just happens over and over again. I mean, I know it was like with you guys. I hadn't spoken to you in a while, but then it's full circle. Here we are again on this podcast. Like, I love it. It's the best.
And like talking that full circle thing is, you know, you've come back from Townsville and you brought Spads with you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Spads is the best. We've played together so much. I mean, we obviously played together in Sydney that year that we won. When was that? 2016, 17.
Yep.
And then the 3 years in Townsville were really special. And I have so much respect for Spads and the way she plays basketball. And I think I tell her after a lot of games, like, oh, I just love the way you played today, because she does all the little things and it's all the things that people don't necessarily stat or see. And I think that is what makes a really great basketballer. And Sads and I have a little thing where we actually, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but we hug right before warm-up start every single game. And we've done that probably for the last 4 years religiously. And I don't know, that's just really special to me, and I feel like we will keep doing that for as long as we're playing.
Yeah, it's going to be really different. I have known Cheryl as well, I think, since I was like 18 maybe, and I started at Flyers with her. So that's like a whole 5 seasons, and obviously we won 2 championships, which again is incredible, and really grateful for her. I love the club at Flyers, but it's also now exciting. You know, sometimes if a new start is also scary, but it's also really exciting. And, you know, we have coming in to be our head coach is Christy Harrower, who's one of the best point guards Australia has ever had. And, you know, she's really going to help develop us. And doesn't matter how old you are, you can still get better every single day, you know, with the craft of a game. And, you know, we have announcements haven't been made yet, but I can't say too much. But with what I can say is, you know, there is still a few people who we have played together before that chemistry is still going to be there for sure. But I think it's also up to being a leader of the team, and as well as, you know, the coach being involved, is just you build that belief within your system, and that you as a team, not like nothing's going to break that bond. It's something so powerful that can really affect the chemistry on the floor. So I can't wait for people to see, you know, what this new Flyers team has to offer. But again, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's all about growing and developing. But I think we have the tools and the people to do so.
Yeah, I think that you come across to me, particularly over all the seasons that I've watched you play, and I'm sure the same for Jacinta, you come across as one of the fiercest players on the court that I've seen, right? You're tough, you're up there, you're leading, you push the team. What is it that drives you to kind of get yourself into that mindset where you're constantly driving and pushing and leading?
I think I was just born like that, as well as, you know, my parents are amazing, but a big shout out to my dad, JC, Gary Cole, who he has just really believed in me. And obviously sport is filled with ups and downs and highs and lows, but I think I've just always been a winner, even if it's a board game or, you know, playing Super Nintendo, PlayStation, whatever it is, like, I want to win. But obviously, you know, I've had the beautiful chance to represent the green and gold, and I've had an amazing career as well. But, you know, sometimes those teams you don't get selected for, or, you know, those games you don't win the grand final, like, that builds a chip on your shoulder. And, you know, I work really hard. I'm always training, and I feel like that's what, you know, people sort of know me for, is I'm always going to work hard, and I want to be the best version of myself so I can give the team the best version of myself. But I feel like I just am that person who has a chip on their shoulder. And, you know, I guess as you get older, you get more wisdom, and I'm not doing it for other people, but it's always fun to prove other people wrong. But I bring the energy, like, that's something that I serve to my team. And, you know, sometimes I might be a bit low, but that's where you be vulnerable. And, you know, last season, hey, Mads, you know, something sort of happened this week. I'm a bit low. I need you to bring that extra, you know, 20% that I can't bring. So it's a team effort. It's not up to everyone. But, yeah, thanks for saying that, because it means a lot. But I just love the game, and I'm so passionate. And you don't get to be a pro athlete forever. So for me, I'm just like, I'm soaking every game in and just having fun with it. Because at the end of the day, if I'm not having fun and don't remember why I started, what's the point of doing it?
And I'm glad that you said that you are a hard worker, because you are certainly a very hard worker. Like, you are all, and how you said you're always training, like, that's not an exaggeration. Like, anyone that follows you on social media, it legit seems like you are always training. You're going for a swim, you're doing your strength and conditioning, you're doing a shoot around. And I'm like, this girl has got so much energy to that. But I do like how you do a variety of strength and conditioning, like you do a lot of cross training. So is that something intentional that you decided to do, like, on your own volition, or is that recommended from various strength and conditioning coaches throughout your career?
Yeah, so obviously I've had those 10 knee surgeries. So for me, after my second ACL, I had to fall in love with the gym, because, like, that's all I could do for such a long period of time. And that's probably where my first love for strength and conditioning probably really came. I've always been into fitness and working out. Again, it's a challenge that you can set small goals. And for me, that's fun. For others, that doesn't sound like any part of fun. But, you know, that's just me. I definitely fell in love with the gym. And for me, if I know that I'm strong and as fit as I can be, I'm going to be the best version of myself on the court. And I'm going to be able to play. Like, you don't want to miss trainings. You don't want to miss games. That stuff's real hard to be on the sidelines. So I think that's my motivation for why I do it. It's almost, I guess, what you could call, like, prehab. Like, I'm preventing myself from getting injured, you know, fingers crossed, and touch all the wood. So that's why I like to do it. And especially in the off season, you know, when I don't have that hectic WNBL schedule, I like to mix things up, because I've been playing basketball since I was 7, but, you know, I guess professionally I was 17. It's boring doing the same thing. So for me, I definitely like trying new things. And if I really like something, or I feel like it's really working for me and my body, I'm like, I'll stick with it. Or if I try something, I'm like, oh, no, I tried this for a few weeks, not really vibing it. Well, then I'll just try something else. So some of it's with my trainers, and then other things, it's just me having a suss and having some fun.
And in the nicest possible way, you would be the most annoying person to play against, because you just keep running and running and hustling, and the energy that you bring. And I think I've very rarely seen your energy drop or fatigue really set in. So if I had to guard you, I'd just be like, girl, can you just stop running for like 5 seconds? But then you'd be the best person to have on your team, because you know what it's like in some games where everyone's just naturally passive or playing in second gear, and you just need that injection of energy. You're certainly a player that can be depended on to do that. Just watching your socials, I was like, damn, this girl's running circles around everybody.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I get your vibe, because, you know, there's certain players in the league as well when I'm having to defend them and they're just on the move all the time. It's like, when's the next time out or foul?
Or just go, can you just go into the, like, the deep three, like, just go in the corner for one possession and just stay there, just so we can chill for one possession.
See, guys, I've just gone 3-point line to 3-point line.
Yeah. They're the best. Just run the sideline. That's it. That's all you need to do.
I'd be benched if I did that.
Yeah, 100% you would. So, yeah, not definitely don't recommend doing it, but.
You know, I wonder sometimes, who's the toughest opponent that you've come across? Because, you know, you're always up there. You're always playing hard. But I'm curious to know, you know, who is it that you kind of go, oh, gee, this is going to be tough?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, trying to think of, like, my whole lifetime as well, who I have versed against. But I'll keep it, like, recent, because my memory's faded. I can't remember a whole lot these days. But even just versing Rochi on the weekend, she's, like, really developed her game over the last couple of seasons. And we were even texting today, and I was like, oh, it felt wrong playing against you. I, like, want to be with you again. But she just pushes the ball. She's another one who just going and keeps running. And she can go to the glass and she can shoot threes. So you have to be on your A game. Someone else is Lauren Nicholson as well. I really rate her. She's great coming off on balls and using that. And again, great defender too. So for me, she's someone as well who is, again, you don't know. She's got a lot in her bag, so you don't know what trick she's going to pull out. And then obviously she didn't play last season because she was injured, but Steph Talbot, she's, if I play on her, I'm a bit undersized. But she's just a great athlete in all aspects of the game as well.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.